Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one transgender podcast in all of the MMA fighting world. I'm your host, Park. I'm joined, as always, by co-host Jason. Raise the babes for his babe.
Yay! Transgender MMA!
I didn't expect you to be so excited about that.
I am excited. I'm very supportive of that. It sounds like an interesting bout. Like,
it wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair? Are you talking about like Andy Kaufman intergender wrestling, or
yes,
okay,
and also the transgender person that beat up a bunch of girls?
You find that to not be fair?
No, the architecture of the human body is different from gender to gender, and that person was like beating people to death.
That's
and the
true.
Women's.
Yeah,
he got his dupa cut off.
His dupa?
And then he thought he could just beat up some girls, and he did. And
so this is an actual story then. I was not aware of this.
Yeah, this is an actual thing that happened. If you kept up with the Joe Rogan podcast, you'd be in the know about this, and you'd be in the know about, dietary supplements to help your testosterone levels, and what is that?
How much pot to smoke each day.
How much pot to smoke. You'd be like, you would know that everything is made up of light and energy, and like everything is like an illusion, you know?
And that's why MMA is so important.
Other stoner stuff. Anyway, Mr. Frisbee, please introduce our guest, because that's an important part of the show.
And he this already started talking.
Yeah, and then we'll get back to this transgender issue. We'll solve this together.
This week we're joined by special guest Greg. How you doing, Greg?
Pretty good, despite my smell.
Greg is
which
stinky.
Is fine, because we're all in different areas. I'm, of course, in Little Rock. Parker is in Tulare, California. And you are in our hometown of Dayton, Ohio.
Stinking it up.
Truly the luckiest one among us.
Yes.
Eating chili dogs whenever you want, and thin crust pizza.
Yeah, crack a crust for all the crackers.
But yeah, so anyway, there's this transgender fellow who was born as a man and then became a woman and now beats the shit out of ladies, Mr. Frisbee. Now you're up to speed.
Well, I take back my earlier enthusiasm, because that does not sound too legit. Too legit to quit.
Yeah, that's what Joe Rogan said. A professional fighter himself and commentator, and now everybody's mad at him.
That I can imagine that being a huge advantage. If I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know MMA. I don't keep up with MMA. And in fact, you know what? I go back to my earlier sentiment. I think this is probably all right. It's a neat throughway for transgender community, I would assume. I mean, where else would they go? This is a bizarre outlet. Like, why was it MMA the thing that they wanted to pursue, that this person wanted to pursue?
I believe they were already a fighter, so they just...
Oh, they just want to keep fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what her record...
Hurt people.
Yeah, I wonder what her record was while she was a man. Because if she's like 0-10, then this is like really suspect.
I think that's probably what it was. They're like, I need a competitive edge. Maybe if I dropped a couple of ounces between the legs.
Yeah, so
more aerodynamicity.
Yeah, it makes you run faster.
Yeah.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. PodAwful.net.
Before we get further into the show, I want to say that you can go to poolpartyradio.com or poolpartyradio@gmail.com to email us. Now that I've said that, I think we should get into some of our confessions. This is something we did on the show once before, and I loved it. I thought it was very fun confessing things that have been weighing heavily on our chests and stuff like that. And so that's what we're going to do this time. I'm going to start out with one that is not very impressive, I guess. Maybe, well, never mind. I won't start with that one because it's stupid. That would be dumb to start out with a bad one.
Just start. Jesus.
Are you drunk, Mr. Frisbee? What's happening here?
No, I'm actually not. I was just egging you on because you're sidestepping so much. What's going on with you today?
I don't know.
All nervous and jittery.
Does everyone...
And my yelling at you is not helping anything, I know. But yeah. Still.
Does everyone... I wonder if everyone wants me to keep going.
Keep going, don't stop.
Apparently everyone wants me to. All right. My first one is that I love Taylor Swift, and I get sincerely sad and upset with the human race that she gets made fun of for singing songs that are personal and emotional. And that bums me out. That's a serious state of the world, I think, where it's seen negatively that a girl would write songs about her life and about her emotions in a world where other artists are out there, quote-unquote, being celebrated for songs about, you know, baby, you're a firework, and I got a milli, a milli, a milli, a milli. As the Lil Wayne song goes. I think it's sad, and it, like, seriously bums me out that she gets so much crap for being an artist.
But you still think that Kesha Redux girl is an artist. I forget her name. The MC Chris-sounding girl.
Krayshawn.
Yes, that's right. Kesha 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Let's not start throwing the word artist around willy-nilly, but I do think that her songs are adorable and fun to drive around to.
And do you feel the same way about Taylor Swift songs? Do you like her songs, or do you just like her as a person doing what she does?
Well, mostly I like her doing what she does, but I don't get upset listening to her stuff. I have one of her CDs, and I don't really like listen to it, but if it comes on shuffle, I'm not going to skip it.
That's interesting. I haven't actually bought a CD in a long time, and it definitely wasn't a Taylor Swift CD. Although, I know that... she was popular. I didn't know that you were into Taylor Swift, period.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. You know? I like these songs where the kids, you know, they're talking about their lives. I like that. It's refreshing in this day and age.
Can you name me a song?
I could not name... Like, my favorite band is Gwar. I could not name you a Gwar song. Like, I am not good at remembering names of songs and names of albums and stuff.
Can you hum a few bars? Could you tell me, like, your favorite lyric?
Do you want me to perform for you? I mean, I've got my guitar right here. I'm a little.
I just want you to validate this claim. I want to hear your Taylor Swift love for musics.
Well, I like that song about how they are never, ever, ever getting back together, and I like the song about how they're 22 and having fun.
Do you like the song about her asking how could everybody be so mean? Have you heard that one?
No.
Okay, but, that's one of her latest ones.
Well, I've got that new album.
Okay, that's a pretty good song then.
Well, I'll listen.
Well, okay.
I was pretty impressed with her musicality, actually. I'm going to have to side with Parker.
Oh, we are the champions. Let me cue that up again. thanks. Yeah, I think that I first... enjoyed her when I was like watching some interview with her like years and years ago, and like she went on to the Saturday Night Live show that I hate, and she was like talking about it, and she was talking about how they were like, hey, we got this great idea for a monologue for you where you'll play this song that Jimmy Fallon wrote or whatever, and she's like, no, I'm Taylor Swift, I'll like write my own song, is what I do, and I respect that, and that's when I started liking her. I respect anybody who won't let Jimmy Fallon write a song.
Or just don't encourage him.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody who shuts him down.
That's interesting. I remember she was on Jimmy Fallon that week that she was going to be hosting. I remember seeing that interview. So I don't know if there was tension there yet or what, or if he even cared.
They're probably mortal enemies now.
Probably.
She's probably writing songs about Jimmy Fallon at this point.
They're never getting back together.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Greg, would you like to make a confession?
I don't want to die, but you could probably ever? Talk to it.
We could probably talk you into it. That's like a dangerous weakness to tell people.
Yeah, because then it just begs like to test it. And just curiosity, yeah, is like, just asking, like, so let's have a chat. I just want to test the waters here.
Yeah, that's like being like Superman and getting real drunk and being like, sure, kryptonite will kill me, but you'll never find any. No one will.
You wouldn't kill poor old Superman, would you?
I would. I hate
poor
that
poor old Superman. Well, he is a reporter, so he's probably not very rich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially
with the downfall of the newspapers.
Mm-hmm. So you're like susceptible to people suggesting that you should die? Is that what you...
I'm susceptible to all kinds of suggestions. I tend to take everything everyone says pretty seriously for far longer than I should, so...
Like you like to go along...
I feel like...
You go along with people's suggestions pretty easily, you'd say.
Absolutely.
Would you move to Minnesota so we can get married there the first chance we get?
You can drink and drive there, right?
Oh, no.
Give me some time to think about it.
I want you to come up north next week.
Who's buying the ticket? How are we going to pay for this?
What do you think?
All right, let's cut it out, Muhammad. Cut it out. Badgering our guests.
Oh.
Mr. Frisbee, do you have anything to confess?
I do. I have an interest in buying a video game console, but I get real depressed and self-conscious about it because I'm 29 and I don't feel like I should be using what little money I have to buy a video game console. And I understand, like, you have a video game console. Greg, you probably have one, right? You do.
I think I have 13.
See? And I don't mind that. Like, I don't think it's childish that my friends have these things. But I haven't had one for a while. I don't think I've had one since the PS2. And PS3 is out. BioShock Infinite is out. Although I hear it's better on PC. And I haven't owned, like, a video game system or any video games for a while. And I'm really itching to play this one because I've been kind of reading the stories all about it and keeping up with it. But I just feel real embarrassed for myself whenever I come to terms to admit it to somebody. It involves, like, a lot of hand-holding and me looking down and admitting this.
Well,
I think you're safe because all the video game consoles available right now can be used as video streaming and media streaming devices that are cheaper than a lot of the other options out there. So you can say that the gaming part is just a peripheral.
See, yeah, I'm trying to validate that, but it still comes down to the fact that, like, I want to get one because I want to play this one game. I don't really think I have interest in many other games that are out right now, although I'm sure they'd be really enjoyable. It's just the one that I'm interested in, and I don't really have the finances to support such a thing. Like, I end up doing other things. Well, now, like, you know, I'm trying to get out more, be more social, and that takes money. So why would I, like, get a system in a game that I don't even have time for? And why validate it as something that I can, like, use to watch Netflix or whatever, when I know I'm not going to do that either? Like, I already got means to do that. So basically what I'm saying is that I really want to play this video game so, so bad. And that just seems like the most childish, selfish thing in the world right now to me.
Well, when you put the console price in... It's definitely a huge investment for not much return, but video games really do have the best time return as far as entertainment.
That's
true. I could see that. Like, I'm sorry, Parker, you were saying.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you pay your $60 or whatever, but you get literally hundreds of hours of enjoyment. It's a, if it's a very long game, like Fallout or something.
Mm.
So you could, like...
Yeah,
you could play this game and buy this game, or you could see, like, 3 movies. And that's, like, an afternoon. Or you could have this thing that you can play the rest of your life.
I like that image of me with, like, a long beard and bald in a rocking chair.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing, like, the same game. And yeah. Then I just press the stop button and just say, time to die.
Yeah,
just rock myself to peaceful rest.
It's the year 2076, and you're still playing Bioshock 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be likely. The nice thing about a lot of these consoles is you have the back catalog available for download too, so you can spend another $10 on a game that's going to give you another 150 to 200 hours of nostalgic gameplay.
That's the other thing. Well, there's 2 other things. Going back to the PC conundrum, like, I've heard that this game is already much better on a well-designed PC gaming unit, but that in itself is this... I mean, I get it. Like, I know why there's a PC fascination, but that's even more of an investment. Like, I've heard the arguments, but you're constantly updating that shit. Like, why pretend that it's going to be cheaper or anything like that? I mean, that is the argument. It's like, it is so expensive to do this PC gaming system. Why? I mean, that's it. That's all there is. Like, it's just so fucking expensive. So when people are like, but it looks better and it sounds better, it's like, yeah, I get it, but who can fucking afford that? Like, every time a game comes out that you want to play, you have to update something, or you have to redo something. Like, do you remember those LucasArts games from early, mid-90s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Full Throttle.
And there was, like, that one Sound Blaster card that Adventures of Sam and Max used, and because you didn't have it, like, that one, like, rare... fucking golden ticket, you couldn't hear them talk. Mm-hmm. So you had to do all these workarounds and this bizarre DOS maneuvering shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the case now, but still, it's like, that's a problem. If that's another option, then that's a problem, because that's way more expensive. And the other thing is that next gens are coming out soon, where it's going to be PS4 and another Xbox system. And it's going to be mostly streaming, like video game... peripherals, like the CDs and everything, those are on the way out. It's just gonna be streaming from here on in.
Yeah, that makes me heated.
Why? Do you like those video game CDs?
Yeah, well, I like the CDs. I like having them on my shelf, you know? What if my Xbox breaks, you know? Then, I'm just gonna lose my game forever if I downloaded it? Screw that.
I think it might be in the cloud. You might download it in cloud.
That cloud. Yeah, I don't know. I got mixed feelings about that cloud.
A lot of people do. Yeah. It's not comfortable with everything being everywhere.
Yeah, I don't want people looking at my porn or anything, but I do like listening to that Akon single that I bought from iTunes anywhere I go.
That's a fair trade-off.
Yeah. Can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Without breaking some Akons.
Mm-hmm. My next... continue.
No, go ahead. I was just saying that's my beef.
When do you think that you'll make your decision?
I don't know, man. This isn't like The Bachelor or some shit where I'm like going to give a rose to a PS3 machine and be like, I choose you. I'm thinking more along the lines of if I find something cheap enough that works really well, I might do it, but now that I've read these reviews of like a PC version being much better than the PS3 version of this one game that I want to play, I'm not even so sure if I want to play it now. It's like something so far out of reach that's like, I'm never going to play this in the best conditions.
Did you play Bioshock 1?
No, but I played Bioshock 2 over at Blake's during Christmas.
Why don't you play one of those games, as they're probably cheaper? But if you gotta buy the whole console, never mind. I guess that doesn't make sense. It would be basically the same amount of money.
It's a good suggestion, because Bioshock 1 is still, like, a, from what I understand, a fantastic game. Like, fantastic first-person shooter. And you can vouch for that, right? You've played it?
I played the intro. I don't play a lot of first-person shooters, but I could tell just by like the writing style and the visual environment and the movement and everything that it's a solid game, and the reviews have always been good. I don't think I've ever read a bad review about anything in the BioShock universe.
Yeah, the second one wasn't done by I guess you could call it showrunner or game runner, Levine. He wasn't behind that, but he is behind this BioShock Infinite, and it just looks really interesting. And maybe there are some good reviews for the PS3 version or whatever, but I was just kind of assuming that'd be it. But apparently, like, there's some lag time. So, see, this is the thing. Like, just this whining, this shittiness that I get into. I'm like, well, it's not the same of this thing, and I kind of want to do this other thing. It's dumb. It's dumb.
Well, your returns on the PC are that Steam will, and other gaming outlets will discount the price of all the games to the point where if you wait long enough, you'll get it for the price you want. But you are going to always be upgrading your system or just dealing with the lowest graphics possible, and your mouse is going to break, or your keyboard's not going to be responsive enough, or you're going to need a headset to play multiplayer. Whereas you get a console, you just it's more immersive. You don't have to have the lights on so you can see the keyboard. You can just sit in front of the TV like you're 9 with the controller charged up and just go.
And again, when you say like you're 9, that's throwing me back to like, hey, I just want to escape back to being a kid again. That's what this is all about for me.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Well, I mean, we all do, but you don't do it because we're all adults here. Like, that's what we're trying to prove to ourselves.
Well, adulthood now involves playing video games. Like, if you start hanging out, like if you start running in a circle of dudes who like fought in World War II, then I'm gonna suggest you don't buy this because they're gonna make fun of you. But as it turns out, in 2013. You can be like 40 and be playing video games and no one's gonna look at you weird.
Yeah, I tried to validate this when I was watching that show House of Cards, that Kevin Spacey, David Fincher directed show on Netflix.
Where he plays Gambit, the X-Men.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of card throwing. It's really ridiculous. But there's a scene where he's in his, like, his basement, his man cave, playing like some sort of first-person shooter. It's like Battlefield or something like that. Are you okay?
Who?
Greg?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're... I'm hearing like shuffling or sniffing.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting in front of the TV like a 9-year-old.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what was going on. Like, I didn't know if you're eating or something. It's cool if you are, but, like, you know, just mute the mic or something if you can.
No eating on this podcast.
Oh.
It's a pool party. You get cramps. You get to wait 30 minutes. LOL. I'm going to move on to my confession. That's next.
Okay.
Because I hate talking about Kevin Spacey. So I'm going to cut you off. I have come to understand that whenever I try to say rid, you know, like I want to get rid of something, that I say red with an E, and I can't stop it, and I hate it, and I think it makes me sound like an okie, and I just don't care for it, and it really takes up a lot of my thought process on how I can stop this and noticing it, and it's really bumming me out.
See, you just said okie. That's how California and I, that's the Californication that Red Hot Chili Peppers was talking about.
Yeah.
Because you never said okie before. You probably would have said like a hick or a redneck or something.
Yeah, well,
definitely not Appalachian. You wouldn't put a place name to it. You just would have said like hick or redneck. But now you say okie because you've been in California for like 3 years.
That's true.
You probably don't even remember what a briar is.
I got no recollection.
Fuck off this podcast.
I'll see you guys later.
You're not fit to dine at the Waffle House, sir.
I wish I was. No Waffle Houses here.
The pancake has been tarnished.
There's no Waffle Houses here, and it bums me out. But there is like this like rent-a-car place in town that is shaped like a Waffle House and has a yellow and black checkered color scheme. So every time I pass it, I go, oh shit, they opened a Waffle House. But then I remember that it's not a Waffle House.
But they have IHOP and Denny's, right?
Yeah, they got that crap. I'm not trying to eat that.
And some of the best cuisine in the world, but you want that Waffle House.
Well, some of the best Mexican cuisine in the world. The rest of their cuisine sucks. Chili dogs suck. Pizza sucks. Chinese food sucks. Everything else.
Chinese food suck.
I was surprised.
Because you're in, you're in the Southern California, not in Northern California. There's good Chinese food in California.
Well, I think the town I live in was.
From my understand.
Yeah, well, the town I live in was, settled by, Chinese immigrants, way back in the 1800s. And I guess that doesn't carry over to having good Chinese food in 2013, but I thought that it would.
Yeah, have you ever actually had, good, authentic Chinese food?
No, I like the Chinese food where they also have pizza and French fries. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
And chicken fingers?
Yeah.
That's good Chinese food. Real Chinese food is not so good.
I've heard that.
I have Chinese relatives. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same by any means, but I had that real Japanese food with Frisbee in New York, and it sucked shit.
What Japanese food did we eat? I can't remember doing that.
We had, those noodles with eggs on them somewhere.
Yoshinoya. Yeah.
It was yuck.
Yeah, well, that's Yoshinoya. You basically, Yoshinoya is... It's like going to a train station anyway. You go up to a menu standalone machine and you press the button underneath the food that you want to go to and it gives you a ticket and you put that ticket with the chef and you hear them mix around some shit in the back way in the restaurant and then they give you your bowl of food. And it's going to look somewhat like the picture. It's going to be okay, but yeah, that was Yoshinoya.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about that. I hope to one day be able to find a guy who can, hook me up with some real good Japanese food that's authentic,
Well, I could set you up with Hiro Matsuda, this Japanese guy.
Sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. Thanks, Muhammad. Greg, do you have something else to confess?
I'm pretty into sci-fi. And I get really upset when I find out that people have not seen Lawnmower Man.
Really?
I do.
How upset?
Okay, so if you're familiar with Lawnmower Man, and you can hide that to keep me from going on a rage. He says that you'll know that I've taken over when I make every phone in the world ring at the same time. So whenever anybody gets a call at the same time I do, or more than one phone goes off, I just get this. I just all the color flushes out of my face, and I say Lawnmower Man under my breath, and nobody gets that reference. And I've actually walked out of the venue that I'd paid for my drinks already and just left before.
That alone is a wise decision. It sucks the big one to pay to go to drink somewhere, but so walking out's a pretty good choice anyway. But I would say I can't really fault the rest of the world for not seeing Lawnmower Man, because having seen Lawnmower Man, that's a bad movie, dude. It's pretty bad.
But it's a Stephen King movie.
Which means that it's going to be really bad. Yeah. You've seen Langoliers, right?
Yeah.
TV movie Langoliers. And, 70s Stephen King, yeah, that's good. Carrie and Shining. But then you get into, oh, what's that fucking truck movie? The Trucks Are Alive.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, short story. Takes 2 hours. Yeah. Even that didn't save it. As much of a webhead that I am, a Green Goblin truck only looks cool on the video cassette cover when you're a kid.
That's true.
I cannot vouch for that movie. I would rather, the most trucking I want in a movie, is two examples.
Over the top?
No, Smokey and the Bandit. That's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Or Big Trouble in Little China. Like, just Kurt Russell driving a truck into Little Chinatown hideaways to get to a evil warlock. That's where I want my semis to play a role in the film. I don't want them coming alive. I don't want them looking like Spider-Man supervillains, like Doc Ock or whatever. Back to Lawnmower Man.
I would like to say real quick that I actually like semi-trucks being in movies, but that's because I've got a great big convoy trucking all through the land.
Yeah, you got a big old convoy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All through the land.
Well, this Lawnmower Man has brought up a mini confession, an extra added bonus confession for me, in that I cannot read Stephen King books because I hate third-person writing, and I hate descriptions of fields and stuff.
Wait, when you say third-person writing, are you talking about narration? Like, what do you mean by third-person writing? Because I don't think I understand where you're coming from with this.
Like, anything where it's like, Ted was alone in the house, and it reminded him of the time he was 3 years old and alone in the house, and in the distance, the wind rattled through the wind chimes and through the cornfield. I hate that. Who are you to be telling me the story? I want to hear about the story from the guy in the story, not some disembodied floating head.
Okay, yeah, so you're talking about a narrator that is not the main character.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I just can't do it. I'm trying to read The Dead Zone right now, and man, it's hard to do.
What wasn't, like, The Hobbit a fucking... That's an author narrating it, right? That's not Bilbo Baggins saying, hey, let me tell you this thing.
Well, it was in story, it actually was written by Bilbo.
Or Sam. Lord of the... Okay.
So that counts. But, there are obvious exceptions to the rule, but...
You just hate it when Stephen King does it.
I think so, yeah.
Usually. Okay.
And anybody who writes Star Wars novels.
Yeah, the Star Wars novels, I'm not into those. I mean, you know, 95%. I'll go with 95%, like Chris Hunnison said, of these third-person books I cannot read. But there are other ones. I mean, there are some I can get into. Michael Crichton I like, for example, because he writes third-person, but he writes it through one person's perspective. So I can enjoy that. But anywho, that's a little tiny added bonus confession. Mr. Frisbee, do you have something to confess?
Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned this one before, actually. Because I'm prone to doing that with these confessions. They're so far and few between. but if I have, pardon this. Other people eating is probably my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, you just yelled at Greg a couple of minutes ago because you suspected him of eating.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that thing. Movies are the worst, and I hate it. Like, it has nothing to do with what they're eating. It's just that they're eating at all. And usually it's how they're eating. Like, if it's these deep inhales and, like, you know, chewing the food, smacking it. Remember that kissing contest show that we tried listening to? Just sound like dudes eating bananas?
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Fucking worst. Yeah. Just so makes me like cringe Dexter. Up and down. So I don't like what?
Dexter.
Oh, mm-hmm. Does he eat a lot in the show?
Yeah, the opening credits are him eating. And he eats, there's like entire episodes where he just goes in search of like pulled pork sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, like the first episode, he goes on a diatribe about how he is one exception for driving safely is that he'll eat. While eating and driving.
If people eat quietly, I'm usually okay. But if it's like somebody who like snorts and, you know, inhales a lot and like you can hear the gaps of air in the mouth as they're chewing.
Like orcs.
Yes, like orcs.
That's how they eat.
I'm guessing that's how they eat. I'm trusting your orc knowledge here.
I read The Lord of the Rings. I know how they eat.
It's terrible. And it bugs me to no end.
Is that something that developed when you were in Japan?
No, actually I was fine then. It was something that developed when I got back. Like, when I went to go see a movie, that's when it actually hit. Like, I was trying to see a movie that I was trying to pay attention to. I can't tell you what the film is. I don't remember it. All I remember is just being so distracted by people fiddling around with like the Twizzler packages, which are unnecessarily loud, rolling out milk duds, which is like beating a drum, and fucking slurping down soda and like coughing loudly as they ate too fast. All this crap. So yeah, the movies is when it's the worst, but also at dinner, like that's barely passable sometimes. Like I like eating with friends and family, like for dinner and everything, but I usually like it better if it's at a restaurant where there's other groups of people having conversations or, you know, some kind of overhead music, because then I don't have to hear people eating.
So you do a lot of your eating these days at like nightclubs and like construction sites?
Yeah, construction sites are a big one. Fuselage testing areas.
The airport.
The airport, mostly. Anywhere where it's just really loud and uncomfortable.
Grab a 10-pack of Cooler Ranch, Doritos, tacos, and just go to the nightclub and sit in a corner.
Or I'll grab a bag of Doritos, Cool Ranch, Tacos Locos, Doritos, and eat those. That's a thing now. They made Doritos chips based on the taco shell that was based on their chip.
How is that even possible?
It's an Inception bag of Doritos.
Oh.
I actually went to the midnight release of both.
I like that. I like your dedication to snack foods.
I would really hope that there's like one person dressed as Harry Potter and another person dressed as like a Star Wars character just at every midnight release.
Well, yeah, Taco Bell is probably like the nation's number one supplier of Mountain Dew, so there's probably already somebody dressed up like a Star Wars character just hanging out, based solely on the fact that they sell a lot of Mountain Dew.
But it's Tropical Boba Fett for the Baja Blast.
Baja Boba.
Baja character. Boba.
Yeah.
That'll be the next drink that they feature. Mountain Dew's Baja Boba.
Do you feel like you're a clone from a really cool dude? Yeah. This is a drink for you.
Speaking of drinks and tacos, this is something that I need to confess, that I've been wanting to confess. I need to get this off my chest. Two things, sort of, to confess in this. Kind of. It's almost a twofer. For a long time, you know, I've been seeing these stories. We got the internets now. And, you know, I'll see videos and stories, stuff like something that happened not too long ago, where scientists figured out that dolphins give each other individual names. Stuff like that.
I thought that was going to be more sexual for some reason.
They also have sex slaves. Dolphins keep sex slaves, which is fucking insane. I've learned.
Is that true?
That is true. Oh, they will, they'll have, like, a team of dolphins, whatever they're called, like a pod or a gang, a crew. And they'll go to other crews, and they'll take, like, some of the ladies and keep them, you know, and for sex slaves, which is mind-blowing. So there's stories like that, you see. And then I saw this video online of this bird who would beg people at a park for bread, but then he wouldn't eat the bread. He would take the bread over to the lake in the little pond at the park, and then he would put it in the water, and then when fish came up to eat the bread, he would get those fish. And that's very smart. And so you're seeing all these things about how smart animals are. And I said, you know what? If dolphins are going around naming each other and having sex slaves, and if birds are going around fishing, I can't eat these guys anymore. These guys are too smart, smarter than most people. I wouldn't assume that a lot of people are smart enough to have sex slaves, or fish, or what have you. So there's no way I'm going to be able to eat these animals. That decision came full force when I was watching a video that you might have heard about. It's become sort of a viral internet sensation. I watched it a few months ago. It's where there's this little pond, and there's like a pig in the middle of the pond screaming because like he can't swim and he's drowning, and then a goat jumps in and saves him, and or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe a pig saved a goat. Either way,
Pig saved a goat.
Pig saved a goat. So I saw that, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back, which I wouldn't endorse if I was a vegetarian. But I said, if these, you know, pigs are saving goats, fuck this. I can't eat, you know, I love goats. I think they're the cutest animals, aside from chihuahuas. I can't eat these guys if they're going around saving lives. What the hell kind of insane person am I that I can eat somebody who would save somebody else's life? So I said, I'm going to have to become a vegetarian. You know, pretty much. I was like 99% of the way sure that that was what I was going to have to do. And then I saw the video on CNN about how that pig did not save a goat. And it was faked. And so I had like made this, you know, life-changing decision. And then it all came crashing down because I was punked. They got me. So,
but there was only one.
Yeah, they still got the sex. They're still doing the sex slaves. They didn't fake that. And that bird is still fishing. But now I just feel let down. I don't think these guys are smart at all anymore if they're not going around saving each other's lives. I don't know what to do.
Pigs?
Pigs, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's Samuel Jackson. What?
It was actually the guy who comes on after Ben Hoffman's show.
Yeah, Nathan Frieden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I think that was two episodes ago, where that was the basis of that episode.
Yeah, I saw
that
a commercial.
Show is also very funny.
Yeah, I saw the commercial for it. They were like, "Do you want to see the making of the video that tricked Parker? It's coming on at 10.
I thought that advertisement was strangely specific. I'm like, "Wow, yeah. Parker's name was mentioned on TV. I wonder if it's the same one that I know."
Yeah, well, everybody's DVRing these shows and fast forwarding the commercials, so they got to get specific to bring people in. But yeah, so I feel let down. I feel betrayed. I feel used. Confused.
Do you still think you could be a vegetarian?
If I see something else like this, like if, you know, tomorrow a real video comes out and it's like, you know, monkey saves Kepi from a tree fire, then I'm like, oh, all right, I'm back in. But it's gonna take a lot more looking into now than before. I'm gonna have to validate these videos. If more animals are saving lives, I'm gonna have to get to the source of it. Not going to believe everything I see. That's for sure.
Could you tell me that you want to get rid of all meat in your diet? Can you say that?
Like, if I knew...
Those exact words. Just say those exact words.
I would like to get rid of all meat in my
diet. It sounds like you're saying rid correctly. Like,
well, I was...
Going back to your previous confession, it sounds like...
I was saying it. Well, I caught myself there.
Okay.
But maybe I do. I don't. Maybe it's just in my mind. Maybe I say it out loud correctly. But anytime I think it, I think it's incorrect. Or well, I did catch myself. Maybe I'll say it again later. We'll see.
Okay.
But I appreciate you looking out.
Yeah, no problem. Going back to that really quick. I say things incorrectly all the time, and no one seems to care.
Yeah, like I wouldn't ever expect anybody to be like, "Yo, did you just say red with an E? You're a dick." Or anything like that, but...
They pull your face down to their bum and spart on you.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's mostly for me. But, yeah. Do you guys eat meats, or do you not eat meats?
I eat meat now.
When you did not eat meat?
For a while.
Yeah, I was vegan for four years.
Was it a health thing, or was it a moral thing?
No, neither.
Was it because you had a girlfriend that didn't let you eat meat?
No.
Because I had that for a while. For about 6 months, I had that when I was like 20.
I love the claim to smell it on you when you do it outside of their watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Argument.
This may sound disgusting to you both, or I don't know, maybe it won't, but, I dated a girl who said that a person who is vegetarian, and vegetarian at the very least, not necessarily vegan, but vegetarian, has interesting or better tasting man juice than dudes who eat meat.
That's like, absurd.
You're...
That is wrong. Dr. Drew on Loveline has said that is incorrect.
So it's just a psychological preference then.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah,
I never had good enough aim to test that.
I was I did the vegan thing for only a year, and that's because I just wanted to try it out. It was like the first time I could buy groceries for myself, so I made all the wrong decisions and got like all the healthiest stuff I could find. Tried soy milk, silk, like chocolate silk is still a staple from that diet. Like I prefer that to drinking milk because milk is too thick and gross for me. But there's a ton of shit that I can't eat now. This is my mini confession. I know I've confessed this before. Like having a sensitivity to lactose is the result. Like because I cut out dairy for that year and then some, and then going forward, like trace amounts of dairy can really mess me up. So like Greg's first confession about how he could be talked into killing himself, I'm revealing my Achilles heel too. I don't know why I'm doing this on a live broadcast, but there we are.
When are we ever going to find lactose in this country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To support you with.
It's pretty rare.
And that's the fucking worst part about it. Like, cheese on anything. Okay, I know we're retracing steps now because we've talked about this. Cheese on any food is terrible. Like, maybe a burger. Maybe that's passable. I can really enjoy, like, a mushroom Swiss burger. But anything else. Like, a slice of cheese on an enchilada? No way, dude. No way. Wait, get that out of here.
Just, like, American cheese?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
just
yeah,
like,
that's gross.
Like, white American cheese.
Yeah, you don't want
You can that. Still see, like, the shape of a perfect square on top of it. That's some bogus noise. Or, you know, I take it back, like, Skyline Chili Three-Way, of course. Of course you have to have cheese
on there. You
gotta
have cheese on there.
I suffer through it, but I enjoy it for what little time I can.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I think every ingredient in a three-way, or any way, is just suffering down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, that is my version of religion, I think. Like, it feels good for a couple minutes, and then just feels real bad for the rest of the day.
I want to go back to this, if I may. If it was not for health or moral reasons, Greg, why were you a vegan? Because that seems to be the two ways to get into it.
Well, actually, when I moved to Michigan and was living alone, and I didn't have any like family in the area or anything, I went to the store and I bought a bunch of groceries, and all the meat and cheese went bad, so I just stopped buying perishables.
That
so at
sense.
Home, I was eating vegan, and when I went out, I would have meat and cheese, and then when I moved back to Dayton. I just cut the rest of it out just because I didn't feel like it was necessary.
That's understandable. I could see that happening. That's why I consider myself not a banana eater, because they go bad like 2 seconds after you buy them. What the fuck, bananas? Get with it. Get with the times.
Don't guilt me into eating you because you're going to spoil.
Yeah, I don't want to have to eat you right now. I'll come back to you on my own time.
I'll get my potassium from cucumbers. They stay for, like, ever.
Screw you, bananas. No one needs you. But cucumbers don't have a cool Gwen Stefani song.
Not yet.
This shit is cucumbers. C-U-C-U-M-B-E-R-S.
Seems like it would be easy, because cool as a cucumber is something that people say. Why hasn't anybody made that song yet?
I'll get on it.
I would appreciate that. Do you have a last thing to confess in the meantime, Greg?
Yeah. I'll confess that I have a near crippling sexual attraction to people that look like science fiction characters. I had to drop my art history class because the girl who sat next to me looked like Deanna Troi.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't concentrate at all. And she's probably getting ready to talk to the local authorities about my staring at her.
I totally get that, though. That is a juicy confession. And here's why. Because I think everybody has some confession like that. It doesn't necessarily have to be with pop culture. But there is that, like, there is certain attractions that we have that we don't realize. Like, some people will desire a certain height in their significant other. But I think it's more interesting when it's based on like a genre trope or maybe even a certain show. I don't know. Do you have anything like that, Parker? Like, you don't have to confess if you don't want to, but...
I don't know. I would like to. Like, I would like to think that if I was in a class with a girl who looked just like Thora Birch or something, that I would, you know, be attracted to that girl for looking like Thora Birch. But it turns out not many girls in the world look like Thora Birch.
And you like Thora Birch.
Dude, I'm so...
That makes sense. Like, have you watched Ghost World or something recently? Or...
I watched American Beauty the other day, and I'm gonna watch Ghost World. I love Thora Birch. She's the best.
Yeah.
I even watched that movie she made where it was a complete ripoff of Hostel. And it sucked. But she was there.
I have a friend who looks like Thora Birch.
Let's get this.
Parker's a married man.
Not anymore, Frisbee. Shut up. You're blowing it for me. You're ruining this.
I think it might be in part to one of my formative and first relationships being with a relative of somebody in a very popular sci-fi series.
Yeah?
Give more details.
If you can. Are you going to get shot if you do? Like, if you name the show, is your connection going to cut out?
It was a relative of Dana Scully's.
Oh, rad. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
She's a fox. I have something to confess real quick. I never watched The X-Files. I only sort of knew about it because it was like a huge pop culture thing, but I had a huge crush on Gillian Anderson. But because I never saw the show, like, I didn't know, like, who the characters were. And, like, she's Scully on the show. But I, like, never knew that, so I would be like, hey, I got this huge crush on Mulder, you know, from the X-Files. So, like, all throughout high school, I was like, man, that Mulder is so hot. So...
That's also passable. David Duchovny, he's a pretty good-looking guy.
He is.
Talks really nasally, but what have you.
He's very attractive.
He dresses up pretty foxy in a... Say what? Sorry, you say it again.
The swimsuit episode.
I'll have to check that one out. But yeah, even in Zoolander, when he played like an old bum, he was very attractive.
You can watch Fire Walk With Me, that Twin Peaks movie. He's dressed up as a woman in that. Oh, wait, no, he's not. He's in the last few episodes of the series. He comes in as an FBI agent, but he's transgender.
I'll have to watch that show. I watched, like, the first 10 seconds of the first episode, like, 2 weeks ago, but then I stopped for some reason.
I was really into
watching it at the time. I don't know why I stopped.
I think, if you haven't seen it, I think you'd probably enjoy it, because it's, like, small town, Northwest, weird people.
Yeah, I've been hearing that it's good. I remember why I stopped now. I watched it, and then the opening credits came on, and then I remembered that remix of the opening credits where they mixed it together with that Ass and Titties song, so I went to YouTube to find that.
That's another good way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah, I love that song.
That's a pretty good remix.
Yeah.
MC Chris did a Twin Peaks song a couple years back.
Krayshawn, you mean?
Yeah, Krayshawn. Transgender MC Chris did a version of that song. And I'm pretty sure he kicked a fan out and then cried about it afterwards.
That fucking MC Chris.
The dork.
Yeah, Mr. Frisbee, I need you to confess one last thing.
Okay. Here we go. You and I have been friends for, God, like 10 years.
Friends
right?
forever. We'll always be good friends, like the song says.
Here's the thing. can't remember how this started. I remember the first time I met you, the first time I talked to you, but I don't remember how our friendship developed. And it's not just you either. This has gone on for a couple of friends. And let me tell you where this actually started. When we did a show in our infancy, when we had like John Lockhart and Jenny Mack on the show. Remember that?
Yes.
And we talked about He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, so we talk about this guy we all knew, and that dude, Chase, was the reason that like I met all of you guys. In fact, you referred to me as Patient Zero in that episode for having met Chase first, and yet, or to some degree, like I know he met Jenny Mack also, but I think I knew him in high school for earlier than that. Anyway. yeah, I remember hanging out at that house. I remember hanging out with Jono and like talking about pop culture and stuff there. But the essentials, the roots and all that stuff, I'm starting to lose touch with all of that. And not like in a schizophrenic sort of way or like a sociopathic sort of way. Like when we started talking about that, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember hanging out with you guys and getting to meet you. And that's when it started. Because then when I said that, I'm like, but how did we become friends? Like, what did we bond over? And how are we friends? And Greg, this is my confession to you as well. Like, I can remember... I can remember meeting you. I can remember like the conversations that we've had in the past about like really awesome shit at parties and everything. Or even like that time I was back in town for Christmas and we went to Trolley Stop after that weird vacated thrift store party. What was it? It was like an empty lot or something, an empty building. It was a birthday party.
Yeah, it was
I forget the name of the place. It was just like that one thrift store.
It used to be a print shop, and then it was an antique store, right, for less than a year,
right.
And then now they sell used cars out of there a lot.
Yeah. But I remember talking to you there, and I remember talking to you on previous occasions. But and like the game night that we did, where you introduced me to some of your friends and got reacquainted with Garrett, I remember how our friendship established or what it was based on. Like, I'm not saying it has to be based on anything, like a similar political ideology or the fact that we, you know, go to the same school or take the same classes or anything. But yeah, largely, I'm not sure how we became friends, and that bugs me.
Well, I think we met back in 2004, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, through Chris.
Through Chris. Okay.
Arneson.
Yeah.
Domingo.
That's his full name. His full Spanish name.
Yes. His full Spanish class and then middle school name.
I would like to confess that you don't remember meeting me, Mr. Frisbee, because I'm just a figment of your imagination.
Oh, that's a better answer.
So, that's... that's why you don't remember. As a matter of fact.
And also, you're Hitler. And also, this isn't a dream.
And also, I blew up a building downtown. Me and Meatloaf. And Jared Leto. You know, like that movie?
Yeah. Choke, right? Yeah.
Choke. No, like that movie written by that author who, like, writes in first person about, like men who are, like, really, like, detached from their comfortable lives and yearn for more exciting lives. You know, American Psycho.
I was going to say, is that Ellis? That sounds like British and Ellis.
Yeah, it sure does. anywho. Yeah, I don't know. I think we just bonded over the fact that Chase stunk really bad.
Yeah, I know we got along after that, and I'm guessing that's what happened, because otherwise neither of us would be here right now.
Yeah, I think there was a strong emotional... I think me and Jono really wanted to take you under our wing and nurse you back to health after that time that, like, Chase came over. He's like, this is my bestest friend, Jason Frisbee. And then, like, the next time I saw Chase, he's like, this is Jason Frisbee's girlfriend who I'm having sex with. And I was like, oh, I gotta be friends with Jason Frisbee now.
So is it born out of pity then? Or is it born out of, like, hey, this dude's all right. He doesn't deserve this shit.
Yeah, the latter.
Okay, that's awesome then. I can get behind that. Cool. Then that's all I needed. I just need validation. I'm using validate a lot tonight because I have to validate my parking eventually.
Speaking of parking.
Did you park under the carport again?
I did. I parked underneath the airport where the planes take off so I don't have to hear people eating.
We have one last thing to confess. Frisbee and I do together. This is that the show Pool Party Radio is going to be bi-weekly from now on.
Because we're bi-curious, you see, Theo.
Theo. Rudy, you see.
Yeah, we claim that Parker abhors plagiarizing and copying other shows. And we do. I'm a neutral supporter of that. much as I am as neutral as everything else on this show. But this idea, in my mind, and I haven't actually discussed this with you, kind of stems from the Badland Girls podcast. And they admitted on their show recently that they have to go biweekly because of other demands like work, school, for them performing. They're doing a lot of performances in Omaha, and if you haven't checked them out, you should check them out. But it seems like a reasonable thing to do, considering that I'm doing my thing out here. I'm actually, like I said, I'm getting out more. And
you're going to be playing lots of BioShock. That's going to take up a lot of your time.
Hopefully. I don't know. But anyway, working and, you know, trying to find other work. Like, I'm just doing the temp thing, so that's kind of hopping around. And Parker is having some changes on the JFD side, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mark Fredo, my brother Fredo, he broke my heart, and he's leaving the show. He left. So I think for a while I'm going to have to do more editing. But, you know, and editing that show takes about 17 hours to do. So, because we spend a lot of time just saying the C word over and over and giggling. So you got to cut that all out.
And you're doing longer shows than you do here. Like, I'm sure a lot of listeners here are fans of Junk Food Dinner and listen to the show, but comparably much longer. Like, imagine last week's Saved by the Bell episode, but just for every show.
Mm-hmm. And times 10. Times,
I guess.
I don't know. times 1.5. You know, and it's also summertime, and I live in California, so I want to surf. You know, I want to fight. You know, and I think doing this show biweekly will accommodate that nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and such. Although, like, we came to this decision in email form this week. And then I never do this, but then I was curious. I was like, I'll go look to see some of the download counts on some of the episodes. And some of them were, like, so high that I immediately regretted our decision.
That's normal.
Yeah.
I think. And I guess what I could mention now is that on our mother network with Mr. Daddy of Hot Awful Network, we're going to be featuring some Pool Party Radio bits. Is that still going on?
Yeah, the Pod Awful channel, there's a secret stash there. It used to just be for Pod Awful, where you could pay X amount of dollars, a small amount of dollars, and, you know, you could get some extra Pod Awful stuff. But now it's going to be network-wide, so all the shows are going to be contributing stuff, including us. You know, if we're not lazy. But that didn't really have too much to do with the decision. But if you are hankering for more of us, that's a way to get it, I guess.
That was my goal with bringing it up.
Yeah.
Like, if it's so heart-wrenching to have it on bi-weekly releases, then we'll have other stuff up and available. And if it's something that you don't like, you can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com or leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and then complain about how you wish it was a weekly podcast again.
Yeah. When I was looking at the download counts, like, and not like they're like crazy amounts or anything. Like, we're no Joe Rogans over here. But they were more than I expected. And but they were like all like the older episodes. So maybe people are catching up. So maybe this will either help people catch up or people will not like it at all and we'll lose all our listeners because nobody wants to listen to a bi-weekly show. So if that happens, if we get, like, if everybody just stops listening, then I guess we can reevaluate our decision. Because I do desperately want to please people. That's my goal in life. But, yeah, so that's our decision. So, every other week now. Bi-weekly. Some call it pan-weekly.
God damn it.
That's my favorite joke.
That is an excellent joke.
Thank you.
And now it's time
for the lightning round.
Tonight, a lightning round. Disabled man awarded $8,000 after being stranded on Disneyland ride. I have not been to Disneyland a long time, but in this case, I can see the problem. There was a wheelchair-bound man who was stuck on the It's a Small World ride, which had broke, and stranded him there for half an hour while the theme song played continuously.
Oh no.
Is $8,000 like the correct amount of reparations in this case?
It depends on how dire his straits were.
Yeah, well, like this story sent me through like a roller coaster of emotion.
Waka waka. It's
fun. And yeah, so at first I was like, oh man, like that sucks. Like the small world song, man, that's so annoying. Like this is probably the worst torture. And then I saw, you know, that he was disabled, because I was like, well, why didn't he like just leave? Like you can just stand up and walk out. It's like a foot of water. Like just walk out. But then I saw that he was disabled and he couldn't do that. And nobody wants to like army crawl through that foot of shitty small world water that's probably been there since 1933. So I was like, oh man, that's horrible. He needs way more than $8,000. This is probably the most horrible thing that's ever happened to somebody. And then I saw that he was only stranded for a half an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like probably like 1/8 of the time he spent waiting in line to get on the goddamn ride. Like, who cares about a half an hour? The ride's probably 25 minutes long anyway. So then I was not on this guy's team anymore.
What I find... Well, go ahead.
He wouldn't want to be on his team. He's disabled.
That's true. I have legs. I would have just walked out. And I would have walked right past this guy with my legs.
What if this...
That's the issue. Like, why didn't anybody else stop for this guy? I mean, he must have said something, or was he like hiding out so he could play out this situation? Like, oh boy, I really struck the jackpot here.
Yeah.
Here comes the pain and suffering case that I have. Which he got. Like, half of the award is for pain and suffering, the other half is for the violation of disability law, which I didn't consider, but yeah, that park ride is from the 50s, right? 50s or 60s?
Probably.
And they probably have an updated disability accessibility.
So then he's the only person, well, I guess, I don't know. So did everybody else just walk off and he was left stranded there?
Yes. Everybody was just like how you described yourself in that situation.
Just walking off with their legs.
Fuck you, dude. Check out what I'm able to do. They like tap danced out.
Well, didn't he have any friends? Like, was he just by himself? Why didn't his friends help him?
Apparently he was by himself.
Wow. Saddest Disney trip ever.
Yeah, I know.
He had high blood pressure and was aggravated by a need to urinate while he's stuck on the ride, which also bugs me because you're surrounded by water.
Just pee.
I mean, come on, dude. There's cameras, but who cares? You just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Or he actually probably would have been arrested in that case for public urination.
Probably.
But yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I hear that's going around.
Or public exposure, excuse me. Not public urination. That's not the case. It's getting your dong out. That's what people get upset about. So
yeah, if you just like pee subtly through the hole in your jeans, then it's okay. But yeah, this guy, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like that big a deal because he's like by himself in his wheelchair. So he's probably going to the front of the line for all these rides anyway. Like, so what? Just hang out for half an hour. It's a small price to pay. To be at the match.
It's a small price after all. Go on.
Maybe this guy is racist and he was stuck in one of the places he didn't like. Like, maybe he like he really hates people from Holland and he was in the Holland part and he was like really upset about all those people with their working legs, like wearing clogs, you know?
Clog dancing in front of them.
Yeah.
Look what we can do in Holland.
We got legs.
That is their national motto.
Yeah,
they were just seductively placing one leg out in front and just dragging it back very slowly.
Yeah, in Holland, their legs work so well that they voluntarily put wood on the end of them. That's how well their legs work.
This is not going to hold us back. They actually have that ZZ Top song as their national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
She's got legs,
and she's able to use them.
Yes. Yeah, I could see how he'd be upset by that.
Yeah, that probably really bummed him out.
It would have been a lot worse if he was stuck in the Smurf version at Paramount's Kings Island.
Do you remember that ride? From back when it was Hanna-Barbera Land?
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you ever on that ride, Parker?
Oh, yeah. I got a picture of me being like 3 years old on that ride. That was my jam back in the day.
Wasn't it, though?
Yeah.
How about like seeing the Smurfs so huge? Like, it's disproportionate, but since it's just you on that ride, like in that log flume, it feels like you have been shrunk down to that size, right?
Yeah, that's true. I felt like I was really there. I felt like I was only three apples high.
Yep, three apples high. That's actually kind of tall.
Kind of.
Than what it makes out to be in the show, because they live under mushrooms, right?
Yeah, they must be pretty big mushrooms.
Or really small apples.
Yeah.
How do you like them apples?
Quite a lot, actually. They're very large.
They have, the Smurfs ride is unique, as far as I know, to anybody who grew up in Southwest Ohio, at Hanna-Barbera Land.
Yeah, and then they turned it into that Tales from the Crypt ride thing.
No, that was an indoor ride, Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, it was same building, though.
Yeah, it was turned into the Phantom of the Opera, like a spooky ride.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been reverted back, like where it used to be, I'm almost certain, is now a Scooby-Doo haunted house.
It is a shitty Scooby-Doo haunted house, and that's why I moved. And that's why I stopped going to Kings Island.
That's exactly why you moved. Like, that's it, I'm going to California.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to Magic Mountain, where they don't have shitty Scooby-Doo rides. I don't need this. At Magic Mountain.
As soon as they took the Pinto out from Wayne's World,
yeah,
I was done.
And the cage from the Golden Child. That made me so mad. I was so heated about that.
What?
They had the Mirthmobile from Wayne's World, and they had the cage from the Golden Child after Paramount bought it.
That's what they put at Paramount Kings Island?
Yeah, like there's like this little walkway, like near the middle, like hidden away, like behind a bunch of bushes. They had the Mirthmobile.
Oh, I think I remember
that. Terrible pizza place.
Yeah. It was pretty great, Mr. Frisbee.
I like that they put that terrible pizza place right next to the vomitorium swinging boat.
Yeah. I love that swinging boat.
Everybody loves that swinging boat.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's why I love it so much, is because there's never a ride for it, because everybody hates it, because it makes you vomit. So I
thought everybody loved it.
I don't know. I've never seen anybody on it. Maybe maybe it's cyclical. Maybe it goes in and out of fashion.
Maybe.
I got my head stuck in the bar on the racer, and we went to the Viking boat just to make me feel better afterwards when I was very small.
Yeah. I have not been there for a little while.
It's fun. Yeah. You should go. Road trip.
Yeah, their new rides are excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last three rides that they've put in have actually been fantastic.
What are they?
Well, there's the Viper Venom. I don't know. I actually have a sweatshirt of it.
I wanted to ride
there's
that.
One where you lay down.
Yeah. That one's fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my glasses almost fell out when I rode it, though. They almost fell out of my pocket. I was pretty upset. It made the whole ride unbearable. I was so anxious. But it was fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Nazis used tickle torture. A man named Heinz Heiger was being kept in the Flossenbürg concentration camp during the Holocaust, and he recounted observing a strange form of tickle torture. It's recounted in his book, The Men with the Pink Triangle. And he recalls witnessing a man being tickled with goose feathers while he was naked and tickled in many places on his body, including the feet, armpits, and legs. This is some very serious Zero Dark 30 stuff, but I listened to a podcast called Improv for Humans with Matt Besser and other comedians, sometimes other UCB founding members, and just I think a couple weeks ago, they did a joke about being tickled and tickling as a form of torture, and they actually did like this improv sketch of a guy being interrogated with tickling by CIA agents. So I find this very funny that this is a real thing, although it's a real bummer that it was Nazis who did it.
Yeah, it makes the Nazis seem like a fun-loving kind of group now. It makes me see them in a whole new light. I didn't know they were just out to have fun and tickle people. They were probably, like you guys remember Normandy? I bet that was probably just a big pillow fight. That's something you don't remember. That wasn't in Steven Spielberg's movie, but it was probably a pillow fight.
I don't teach you that in history books.
Mm-mm. They leave that out. They leave out all the thumb wars. They leave out, other fun things. I don't know. Those are the only three fun things I know that exist.
Well, like the London Blitz.
They actually dropped GAC from the bombers.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. They were like, hey, Sergeant Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, we're storming Normandy. What should we do next? And he's like, I don't know. And then he gets slimed.
And then he was like, you can't do that on television.
And then he told all the rest of the guys to get out of the water and onto the beach. And then he got sprayed with all that water. It was a crazy time.
And it was just those same couple jokes again and again and again.
Again and again.
Yes.
Actually, speaking of, you can't do this on television. Do you remember the SS sketch on there? They did like the adult on that show, the guy who played Barf, the cook. He plays like an SS dude.
The firing squad dude?
I don't think it was that one. I think there was one where he's dressed up like a Nazi. And maybe I'm confusing with the firing squad one. But still, that could be like Rommel or something, right?
Maybe. I thought that for some reason I always equated that firing squad guy with South Americans. But that, like, he was trying to like it was some satire of some South American people, like army or something, but that could just be totally made up from my stupid 4-year-old mind somehow.
Well,
I don't know. Was he smoking?
I can relate.
Because it seems like they always are smoking in South America.
He was smoking.
Then South American it is.
Yeah. And also he had like this big juicy butt and he was good at jujitsu, which I feel is South American.
Was he wearing a feather cap, which he also used to tickle people?
Yeah. It was during Carnival as well, so.
So sexy. A
lot of glitter.
Okay, I actually found this article about the guy talking about playing a Nazi guard. Yeah, he's like, when I played the German Nazi guard, I had to tread lightly there. I had the German accent and the foreign thing, and I can't quite remember how it came up, but one of the writers or something, I guess, is Polish, and Roger had written some kind of gag involving this Nazi guard. And yeah, that was a thing. That was an actual thing. So it wasn't just my childhood memory warping itself. See, I can remember shit like that, but my friendships, the things that actually matter. This is the problem that I'm going to run into when I play Bioshock. I'll have so many great Bioshock Infinite memories, and then I'll just forget, like, my dog that I had when growing up, whose name I can't remember now. Kiki. See? It's on its way out. Yeah. My brain's already making room for sweet Bioshock nothings.
Sometimes
you just refreshed it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you got another good 5 years left with Kiki. Because of that one refresh.
At least the name of the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was a cat. I can't know. But yeah, this is it's very silly. Are you guys ticklish?
Yes.
No.
That's got it. Well, you should have fought the Nazis not being ticklish. You would have blown their minds.
I'm Polish, I did.
Oh, well, I guess you won since you're here to tell the tale.
Tell us about it, Grandpa.
Behind what lines does Warsaw lie?
Part of the method that's described in the book is that the SS sergeant and his men would tickle the soles of the feet between the legs and the armpits and other parts of a victim's naked body or a prisoner's naked body. And at first, the prisoner forced himself to keep silent with, like, the eyes twitching in fear and torment from one SS man to the other. Then he could not restrain himself, and finally he broke out in high-pitched laughter that very soon turned into a cry of pain while the tears rained down his face and his body twisted against his chains. After his tickling torture, they would let the lad hang there for a while a flood of tears ran down his cheeks, and he cried and sobbed uncontrollably. Probably because of, like, pressure and fear and, you know, the horrible nature of that situation, aside from the tickling. I mean, it's a weird thing, right? Like, tickling to make you cry? Like, you would laugh, and then you'd start crying?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, usually, like, when you, like...
It's a natural progression.
Probably, yeah. Like, I mean, most of us...
If it's your creepy uncle or something, yeah. Because no one wants that.
I think, yeah, like, most people, when they get tickled, they get to a certain spot, and then, like, it becomes so crazy that, like, they use, like, their inner strength, like, the strength that, like, moms get when their kids are trapped under cars. Like, they use that strength to break free. So nobody, yeah, like if you're like actually like tied up and being tickled, it probably gets pretty fucking intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be. That is very strange. I don't know. You still get tickled now, though.
Yeah, Parker. Yeah, I get tickled a lot.
And Greg, do you date anybody who tries to tickle you? Or do people try to tickle you?
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
Because you don't react to it?
Yeah. Or? People try to playfully tickle you.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah, they're like, Gucci, Gucci, you were having fun. And then and you just look at them stone-faced.
And I just say, I don't have fun like that.
I do not have your human fun.
What and then this? I grab their wrists real hard.
And then you're on a rooftop with rain falling on you and you're like...
like still holding their
like teardrops
wrist.
Lost in the rain. Yeah, you're like Rutger Hauer from Blade Runner.
Exactly.
And then it turns out that the person tickling you was a robot too. They just didn't know.
Yeah, that's why that dude gave you an origami thing that looked like a unicorn because he knew.
And well, it's because he had a lot of time to practice that while he was the captain of Battleshark Galactica.
That's true. That is also true. He grew a mustache and that was it. What you're saying actually reminds me of that Flight of Conchords where one of them, Brett, is trying to get playful and intimate with this girl that he's dating and they're tickling each other, but then his roommate comes in and sits down and just watches them tickling each other. And the girl gets up uncomfortably to go use the restroom and let them talk. And Brett tells his roommate, he's like, yeah, we're trying to get close and you're making this really uncomfortable by just sitting there in the room, like hanging out and trying to watch us and talk to us. I'm not even ticklish. I'm just going along with it. So do you ever go along with it? Like, do you ever just say like, oh yeah, we're having fun and being ticklish? Or is it every time you just like stone cold look her dead in her eye sockets and say like, I do not know this concept of fun, this tickling.
I usually go for the latter.
Wow. That is ballsy.
I like that. I like your commitment.
Yeah.
You don't want to get caught living a lie. Like, if somebody's like tickles you and you go along with it, then the rest of your life you're going to have to pretend you're ticklish.
If you decide to go with that person, and what if it tends to be like, what if it starts moving forward? Like, how do you admit to someone that you're not ticklish and you were faking it all along?
Yeah. Or you could have like some sort of like try to convince them that sometimes people just stop being ticklish somehow.
Like, just going through the medical books of the ailments, like where I gotta find something.
Yeah. I ate some bad asparagus.
And then fake a head injury.
Yeah. I was in a car wreck. And then I was in a coma for 6 months, and you have to like stage all of this to be in a fake coma. And then when you get out, it'll be like the dead zone.
But you got to change the list. Like, I don't like her lasagna, so I don't like lasagna anymore.
Yeah.
And...
See, this interests me. What would you rather hear if you were with like a partner for, years and years and years and years, and then your partner approaches you and says, like, listen, I have to tell you something. I've been faking blank since knowing you. Would it be worse if it was orgasms or being ticklish? Like, if you're really into
either way,
both.
I'm getting off.
It might be ticklish because, like, being tickled is like such like carefree, innocent fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's like like if you could boil down fun into like one action, it would probably be tickling.
Yeah, probably.
Which is to say that Greg, you're missing out on all of the fun of being alive.
You would make a great agent. I think we can agree on that.
That's right. If I get caught by the frou-frou Nazis, then.
By the tickle
Nazis. No fun with me.
Mm-hmm. The tickle Nazis are coming.
That's the tickle Nazis. Yeah.
The fun Nazis.
Don't make me break out the feather.
I like these tickle Nazis. I hope that in Captain America 2, he has to fight the tickle Nazis.
Yes.
It's a weird form of torture. Do you think, like, other forms of torture they had was forcing people to play concentration, except the timer wouldn't actually buzz out? Like, their heart just keeps racing, like, oh, God, gotta put everything in here.
Or playing Don't Break the Ice, but they used, like, a piece of cardboard.
Oh, boo. It'd suck. Or, like, they have them do this 1,000-piece puzzle, but 2 pieces are missing. Or they're from a different puzzle.
Yeah. Or, like, they're playing...
You're trying to over-enjoy them.
Yeah, they like, play...
Yeah, only
you're playing Minecraft,
cry, yeah.
But it never goes dark.
They play Hungry Hungry Hippos, but it keeps feeding in more balls. So you're just going at it like crazy?
Tilted towards yours.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's Kevin Spacey from Seven who's doing it. He's doing gluttony.
Well, all right. Well, I told you, Frisbee, I didn't want to talk about Kevin Spacey. So that's the end of the show, I'm afraid. You brought him up twice. That's it. I would like to thank you, though, Greg, for showing up to this show, being on our show, not talking about Kevin Spacey. I appreciate that. So is there anything you would like to throw out of Twitter or anything like this? Greg.
I guess you could go to my website or Twitter, and those are both named SZKUD.net. Well, my Twitter's just Scud.
Nice. I will do that myself.
But don't expect much.
Oh, well, all right. I was expecting a lot at first, but, you know, I'm glad you,
lowered the bar.
Yeah, I'm glad you lowered the bar, because I was going to delete everybody else on Twitter, just follow you. But now maybe I won't.
Well, I could pick it back up again, but I probably won't.
Well, I'll still keep following everybody. Except for one person. I'm going to go through and get rid of one person and replace them with you on Twitter. So,
do you have a really cool number of followers or...
No.
Or followed now.
No, I just, I feel that this is the way to go, though. I don't have a cool number of people I'm following, but I don't know. I've been looking for an excuse to stop following Bill Burr. You know, he's got to go.
I just thought you were just trying to hold it steady at 182.
No, that would be great. I wish I was like Doug Benson or somebody who I'm following 420 people, and that's hilarious for some reason. Anywho, speaking of hilarious for some reason, you can go to our website, poolpartyradio.com, get all our old episodes, get all those Saved by the Bell episodes that the kids crave. You know, there's like 100 episodes. You can listen to them all, and they're there. Or go to our iTunes and download things there. Subscribe, rate, and review us. We got a couple of new, very nice reviews on iTunes that I like a lot. Jordan from the Olympic Artist Show. He's very nice. He left us a nice one, Mr. Frisbee.
Nice. I'll have to check it out.
He's a good guy.
I like reading good things about us.
Yeah. And so there's that. You can do that. You can listen to us on Stitcher. You can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, especially if you have something to say about our new bi-weekly schedule. If you hate it, let us know. Or if you think it's the perfect amount of pool party, let us know about that. Or let us know if you think we should go every 3 weeks. Maybe we'll do that. Twice a year, if you want. Whatever you guys want. Also, check out the Pod Awful Network at podawfulchannel.net, I think. And check out that Pod Awful. Jesse P.S. is a nice guy. Check out that Awful Flicks, all that stuff. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/poolpartyradio, all that stuff. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Or 1 week if, like, we get, like, a million emails telling us that they're mad about this bi-weekly thing. And so until then, this is Parker for Greg and Jason Razorbabes for his babe saying thanks for having fun.
Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can you buck like a horse when we fuck? Can you take every inch of your butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can Can you fart on my balls when we fuck? Can you stick your whole tongue on my butt? Can you shit on my chest for good luck? Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? We're old enough, suck, give it a fuck, Jake, cute enough to where I wanna rock you up, and if you swallow you suck, and you take it up the butt, and I might keep you around long enough, plus not. Up. All I really want to do is fuck you in the butt. Then you turn around and then you suck it up. I'm going to suck it up in my butt. Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can you buck like a horse when we fuck? Take every inch of your butt. Can you shit on my chest? Open it up. Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Can you fart on my balls when we fuck? Can you stick your whole tongue on my butt? Can you shit on my chest? Open it up. Can you quack? Can you quack like a duck when you suck? Give it a fuck, Jake, cut it up to where I want to knock you up and swallow you suck. And you take it up the butt, then I might keep around long enough, bust nut. I want to knock you down, just to want to knock you up. All I really want to do is fuck you in the butt.